In our study of the Gospel of John, as we have started chapter 3, and I would remind you again the importance of the Gospel of John, because John is the last living apostle, and he's writing after the Old Testament, after the New Testament. He's going to write Revelation after this, but he's looking and summing up. God is using him to bring all of history into focus. And as you would read in Luke, etc., search the scriptures. Search the scriptures in John 5:39. Search the scriptures. And in Luke 24, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, God's word speaks of me. Find me in the Bible. Find me. Now, and it's all about coming to grips with that. It's a very simple thing. Of all, like we said earlier in after Sunday school, it's a wonderful thing to have a relationship to God, to allow God to be loving us. That is, to allow God to be God to us. To be able to be, we say, my Lord and my God. Our God. My Lord. To be able to have a personal thing. And that relationship is critical and necessary for all the other wonderful truth in God's Word. And without that, all the phrases and promises will fall flat in their face. And so, God, thank you for giving John this assignment. So now, here we are, just after the first week of his public ministry, and there in Passover, Jerusalem, and thereafter, here he is, and in John chapter 3, we read together, Nicodemus, the man came at night. And three things to note, at least. The same came, verse 2, to Jesus by night, nighttime. Remember, he's a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest body of Jews in the land. And thus, if he were to go publicly, he would lose his job, his place. And so therefore, he goes at night. And it's at nighttime. And he comes and he says, Rabbi, in a term of respect, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. We are knowing with the present result that we know. So it isn't something that we're guessing at. We, that means a handful of us out here, without taking time to read in John, there are other Pharisees and leaders and scribes that are believing, but they don't come out of the woodwork because they'd be ousted from the Sanhedrin. And so here's among them, as he would talk normally as a Pharisee, he would talk among his friends, and they would have those that are in full agreement. This, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the light of all his miracles, remember chapter 2, verse 23, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast, many day, Passover, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles, signs, which he did. And he did one after another, all over the place, lots of them. And Nicodemus is going to make a note. We know that you come from God. Secondly, and no man can do these miracles. No man can do these miracles which thou doest. You are doing things and no one can possibly know. And it's in the third class going to be, except, verse 2, except third class condition, God be with you. God's either with you or he isn't. But whatever God might be, no one's going to be able to do what you do unless God be with him. Is he with him or isn't he? We don't know the possibility. God has to be included, doesn't he? Now, and so, God, the Nicodemus recognized the Lord Jesus Christ in a very special way. His heart was moved. His heart was moved at night, and he isn't a believer yet, not a believer, but he's open. He's seeking, but he has to seek secretly, as it were. Later on, he'll be public at the end, but not yet. So now, having said that, except God be with him, unless God be with him, and God may, he might be, and he might not be. But it seems to me, said Nicodemus, God ought to be with him, maybe. Maybe. Now, so our Lord answers very, very directly. No discussion, no preliminary. He goes right, he takes the surgical knife, and goes right to it. No messing around. No, shouldn't there be a nice little chit-chat or something, a friendly gesture, a cup of tea? No, straight way. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we're just going to stop a moment to get a very important piece. The Lord Jesus said unto him, answered him, Verily, verily, I am saying to you. Now, the word verily, verily, stating a command, an explanation, exclaiming something. And it has to do, and it's used in the Gospel of John, remember, 25 times. It's used singularly here and there. But together, just like you're looking at it, verse 3, verily, verily, two times, one, two, and it's used 25 times in the Gospel of John. Now, the significance of those words, again, to remind us. And thus, verily, verily, you will see, depending on the translation, you would see it, amen, amen, in some, because it is the word amen, amen. And it has to do with truly, certainly, surely, assuredly, emphasizing the words that are to follow. Stop, look, listen. Verily, verily, pay attention. Don't be indifferent. Wake up. Pay attention. Verily, verily. Quick, straight, Nicodemus. Verily, verily. And it has to do with the words and the great importance of everything to follow. Secondly, it has to do with the truth. The words are going to say something very, very important. And in fact, without taking now, in the John chapter 3, you will see in chapter 3, verse 3, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except, unless, must, absolutely, you must, except, there's no way, if you don't pay attention to what I'm saying, there's no way for you to see the kingdom of God. Absolutely. But about theories and philosophies, you cannot see. Absolutely. Three times. One, two, three. Absolutely you cannot. Wow. So when you say something, God, and you said it to us, we got it. Verily, verily, the words that I say are of great importance, and the truth of them that is stated is giving an affirmation a firmness, a stability to the truth. And the little word, verily, it is so. If you want to say it, three little words. It is so. It is so. It is so, it is so. Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. When you have amen at the end, it means so be it. At the end of the sentence, amen. So be it. At the beginning, it is so. At the end, so be it. Amen. Now, and that's different than applause. Applause is recognition this way. We don't applaud. We aren't having a show. We're in the presence of God, and we need to recognize and honor Him. We aren't honoring each other. We don't honor each other like that, you know. Thank you for singing, you know, or thank you for this. No, we're in the prime. We all owe God, all owe Him. And no applause. Not for us. Not for us. Now, in the light of that, keeping that in the forefront, and it has to do this about this the word this a key word, amen, Old Testament, New Testament. The Old Testament feeds the definition into the New Testament. So when you know one, you got the other. Definition the same. The key word is support. Support. Like you're sitting on the pew. It supports you. It supports you. And it includes the condition of binding and being bound. Like the seed in the ground. The seed goes into the ground. And as it develops, it binds itself. It is bound to the ground and binds itself. The ground is bound to the seed. The seed is ground to the... The seed is ground, bound to the ground, bound together, a condition, bringing it together. That's important. Binding, bringing it together. Amen. Now, in order to get the impact of that, over, if you would, at least a little, over to Deuteronomy, chapter 7. Again, you've got a large subject, and we're going to do it in a minuscule way. Deuteronomy, and in chapter 7. Picking up, please, if I may, in chapter 7 and in verse 9. Remember the word to be in accord, to approve, to sanction, to make firm, to support that which is true, and to be personally in possession of something. When you say amen, I personally take ownership of that. Amen. That truth, it is so. I bring it into my heart. I own it. I own the truth. Amen. Now, having said that, in the light of that. Chapter 7, Deuteronomy, and in verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Do you see the word, He is God, the faithful? It's a verb, faithful, amen, faithful. That's what the word means, amen, faithful, it is so. Faithfulness, trustworthiness, reliability. God, the faithful God, the amen God. Chapter 9, Deuteronomy. And you're going to reverse it now, as it were. Deuteronomy chapter 9, and in verse 23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, Then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. He is the faithful God. We just read that. He is the Amen God. It is so about him. And on your part here, the word, verse 23, chapter 9, the end of the statement, ye believed him not. You were not believing, maintaining, firmly trusting onto something. You were not amening him, which means believe. You'd be resting down. You aren't amening him. He's a faithful God. Amen. He's the Amen. You ought to be amening him. You ought to say, that's my God. But you weren't believing. You weren't believing God at all. Now, over to a place that you're familiar, Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And I'll start up in verse 9, if I may. Remember that Israel is going to cross the Jordan. They haven't crossed over yet. When they cross over the Jordan, they're going to have a wonderful event between the two mountains. And they're going to back and forth with the cursings and blessings. Wow. And that you would have heard that. Well, how far away would you have heard that? Wow. Thousands of people. On the one hand saying this, on the other hand saying that. Wow. Now, chapter 27, Deuteronomy, verse 9. And Moses and the priest, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, etc. And they're going to do the other. Now, verse 15. And they're going to say, on the one hand, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer, they're instructed, when we say that statement, that cursing, you make sure you're in agreement with it, say amen. I want you to say amen. And he's going to do it 12 times. Amen. Amen. On every curse, you make sure that you're saying, God, you make sure that happens. Now, and so when you come now, and each statement has amen at the end, all the way down to verse 26. And in verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them. Now remember, they said, all that you say, God, we're going to do. Well, that's wonderful, all that you say we're going to do. That's wonderful to do that. But then you just walk away. You didn't amen it. You didn't lock it in. You weren't going to lock it in. You didn't intend to lock it in. Verse 26, all the words of the law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. So be it. And this is a big, big event. And everyone knows in Israel, God means what he says and says what he means. And we're supposed to be in full adherence, in accord, in agreement with what he says. That's what we're supposed to be. Amen. And that's what he tells us to do, to firmly lock on as the seed into the ground, to lock on and put it together. Now, having said that, when you come to the blessings, remember, just to remind us, when you come to the blessing, the other side of the coin, verse 28, And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. In other words, you're going to pay attention and be obedient, pay attention and believe, say amen in your heart, and let possess the truth. Let the truth possess you. And all these blessings shall come on thee, and then there's all the blessings. Blessed when you're going out, blessed when you're coming in, blessed, blessed, blessed. But there's no amen. No amen. Only in the cursings. Only in the cursings, amen. On the blessings, if you're honoring me and your heart's right, you don't have to worry about a thing. I'll have the blessings hunt you down if you try to hide in the deepest corner in the bottom of the ocean. My blessings will find you. You don't have to hide. You don't have to say amen. I'm going to do them. I'm just going to do them. And you need to know that. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that little bit in the forefront, God is absolutely reliable. You can count on God absolutely. Psalm 31. And in Psalm 31, picking up, please, in verse 23. O love the Lord, 31:23. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, as you read. The people that say amen. They have an adherence. I'll bless them. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. God will take care of everybody's reward. And the believing, faithful heart that says amen to what God is saying, to who God is, God will bless them. God, who is the faithful person, going to be certain, very certain about God, very certain about the Word of God, no question about the Word of God, no question about God, no debate. How about a little debate, Nicodemus, about the whole subject matter of miracles? There was no discussion. A discussion about anything. Shouldn't there be a little discussion? No. God said it's absolutely, verily, verily necessary, absolute, that you be born again. Absolute. That's all. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of God. Unless that's true. Amen, amen. Are you paying attention? Now, in the light of that faithfulness, over to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And we'll pick up our word. And in chapter 28, verse 15, remember the problem with protection from Assyria. They're going to try to make a treaty, and ultimately in the tribulation, they're going to make a treaty with the Antichrist to try to save them. Muslims all over, Islam all over, Jerusalem, surrounding them, brotherhood, Muslim brotherhood all around it. That's right. That's right. And Israel, Iran, Iraq, wow. Saudi Arabia, wow. Syria, Egypt. Ah. Boy, we need. And they make a treaty. A dumb treaty. It isn't dumb to them, but it's dumb from heaven's point of view with the Antichrist. Here they're making a treaty to save them from the Assyrians coming in. Now, verse 15, because we have said, ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, with hell, Hades, Sheol. Are we in agreement we're in agreement with the wrong people, wrong things. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. We're all protected. We're all protected. We got a system, we got a program, and we have a shotgun. We're all ready to go. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, tried stone, precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. God said, listen, if you would look to me properly, which they don't, and they wouldn't, if they would, then they would find that there is a place to stay. You don't have to go to Egypt or anywhere else. There's a stone, tried, proven, precious, permanent stone. And if you believe, the stone. Agree with the stone. What do you mean, amen, the stone? Bind yourself to that stone, permanent, precious, proven. Bind yourself to it. Amen. So be it. They could have said that, but they didn't. They didn't say it. All they had to do was, amen, and agree with God. Here comes the, I don't know if the Assyrians would ever got there. And they wouldn't have done well if they did. But they didn't do that. And you'll notice, please, the end of verse 16. In the end of verse 16. He that is believing, to be relying, trusting, supporting, being supported. He that believeth shall not, he that is causing, you have to choose to do it, to believe, shall not make haste, does not have to hurry, does not have to move, can be patient and wait for the promise. God said, stand, like in the Red Sea, stand still and watch. That's all you have to do. Amen! But no amen. The Assyrians come. You're making all kinds of plans to salvage and save and be supported by the wrong thing. You're saying amen to Egypt, not to God. Now, in the light of that, Isaiah 55, while we're here, Isaiah 55. And you will note God's invitation to Israel, ultimately to the world. Isaiah 55, if I can, in verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul, not your tummy, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Not a full tummy, a full heart. A heart that is going to be wonderfully satisfied. And when your heart's satisfied, your tummy becomes of minor significance. Now, verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even, what kind of contract, what kind of arrangement? Even the sure mercies of David. The word sure, faithful. Amen. The abs supported. The mercies that I have promised David to generation after generation, they're supported, firm. They're mercies that have been amended by God. God amended giving you mercy. So be it to you. So be it to you. Wow. Now, you promised that, God. I did. Over Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. And would you please note, in coming up in the millennial reign of Christ, coming up after the tribulation, what's it going to be like then? Different, no question. Isaiah 65, and in verse 16, going directly, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. The word truth, amen. That which is supported, supports and puts it, holds it all together. In the God of truth, truth, amen. In the God of the, amen. God says something, and it is so. Verily, verily, are you hearing what I tell you? Oh, I'll think about it. Wrong approach. Like you did in Sunday school. It's very important. Who says I love you? Who says it? God said it. That's very important. If you don't know, then it's as good as wherever it came from. But God, you said it. Amen. God said I did. Now, hang on. Isaiah 65, in the millennium. Blessed be he who blesses himself in the earth shall be blessed himself in the God of truth. Amen. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth again. Amen. Same word. Because the former troubles are begotten. Are forgotten, and because they are hid from thine eyes, it's all different now. And it's a wonderful amen. The God of the amen. The God of truth. Amen. The faithful God. Amen. That's right. The one who supports and says it is so and makes it so. That's right. Now, with that in mind, the man, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the right one, said the right thing in the right way at the right time. He has all kinds of power and authority to say what he said. He said what he said, and he did so in great absoluteness. No question. Perfect, positive, pure. All that he said, wonderfully so. Now, having said all that, wonderfully so. Old Testament, going to be. Now, go with me, please, over to Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. And you'll note in Romans chapter 11. Remember this 9, 10, and 11 in Romans is all about Israel, because the question is to be raised, what about Israel during this church age? And that's where 9, 10, and 11 fill in the pieces for us. Now, when you come to the end of that section, chapter 11, when you come to the very end, and by the way, since we mentioned the sure mercies of David, would you allow me to read verse 31? Even so have these also now not believed. But through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Why? He puts us all in the same boat that he can give us all the same benefit, that he might have mercy upon all. Now, sliding down to verse 36. For of him, he's the source of everything. Out of him, he's the source, origin. And through him, by means of him, he's the way it's going to happen. He's the source, and he makes it happen through him. And to him, he's the object. So he starts it, works it all out, and he works it all out, and on the other end, he's there to receive all that he started. He starts, carries out, and finishes all. Israel, of a truth, God of a truth. We're going to get the days coming, we're going to say it. God of a truth. Amen. Now, so here in verse 36, we're of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. And then what? Amen. So be it. See? Well, I don't want to say amen. That's a problem. Because you want to be in agreement without any question. It is God who said it. Agree with him. Amen. Now, and that is an A. You can say amen. I don't need to get into that. Amen, you know, you say, I sneeze and everyone says amen, you know, and all kinds of things. Amen means an intelligent amen to something that God says or something. But it has to have some intelligence to it and backing, you know. I'm going out and have a banana split after church. Amen. See? Wrong kind of amens. See? Wrong kind. Now, thus, amen to his glory and honor, that everything starts with him, works out through him, and comes to an end, and he gets all the glory and he gets all the honor. Amen. Amen. Over, if you would please, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And you will note, to the church in Laodicea, remember that's the end of the church age, prophetically, that's where we're at, actually. We're living it. And here's this church in Laodicea, the literal church then, also. Now unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right. What are you going to say to the end, when you come to the end of the church age, and everyone is off the wall, they aren't interested in amening anything except themselves? Verse 14. These things saith the Amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, is the Amen. He is Amen. He is. Well, you didn't say it anywhere else, Revelation 2, 3, until now. Why? Laodicea is where they say, I would that you were hot or cold. Laodicea, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. The diagnosis of God, you are in terrible shape. You need to know that I am the Amen. It is so. All that I said and all that I meant and all that I'm going to do, Amen. And to you guys who think you don't need me, you had better learn. Verily, verily, I didn't say that for nothing. I meant it. But we don't. I meant it. That'd be like the Israelites with the Assyrians and the Egyptians. No, we're going to trust the Egyptians. They'll help us. No, they can't help you. Ah, God. He's the Amen. Over, if you would. Hang on to that. He is the Amen. Over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians in chapter 1. Remember, we did 2 Corinthians up to chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, going directly in verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, yes and no, but in him, Jesus Christ, God, was yes, yea. For all, verse 20, all the promises of God in him, the amen, in him, the amen. All the promises of God in him, amen. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, for the glory of God by us. We are to be the custodians that, amen, so be it, all that you have in mind, God. We're looking to you, God, to outwork your goodwill. And all of the wonderful promises, we can't even think of them all. We don't know them all. And when we think we do, we don't. And when we think we have them, we don't. But God, you got them, and you explain, you work out your word as you have said it in the light of the context of the 66 books of your word. Honor yourself. Honor yourself. All the promises of God are yes. And all the promises of God are amen. Let them be so. Let them be so. Amen. Who represents those promises? The believing heart. A rock, proven, solid, permanent, precious. They wouldn't believe. Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, what they didn't do, you need to believe. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. And as you walk around, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of those wonderful truths, promises, plan, purpose, program, that's all going to be. It is so as God has said it. It is to be so. Amen. And you and I are custodians walking around. We amen. Angels look good and bad. Oh, look, wherever they are. Oh, well, what? Do you? I'm a churchgoer. Yeah, see, no. I'm a believer. You want to be a believer. And I amen. I am believing. Possessing, like the seed in the ground. Possessing, let it bind and bound me to it. Amen, God. You said it, so be it. That's what God wants. And you and I are locked on, bound. God is bound to his word, bound to himself, bound to his people. Amen, amen. And we're locked in, we're locked in. That's a wonderful position, saved to the uttermost. We don't deserve a drop of it, but it is so now. So, in the light of that, over if you would, Revelation chapter 22. We mentioned promises. And when you come to the end, you know. Revelation chapter 22. The promises are yes and amen. A sure thing. It is so. It shall be. It shall be. So shall it be. And thus, here at the end, not at the beginning, if I may, in verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I am coming quickly. That's our Lord Jesus. Amen. So be it. So be it. So come, Lord Jesus. Verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, said the Apostle John, be with you all. Amen. So be it. So be it. Wow. So be it. Now, having said that, over, in closing, if you would, to Ephesians. In Ephesians, and in chapter 3. Now remember, verily, verily, 25 times. And you couldn't read the... That's why the Gospel of John is so profound and simple. Profound, as you read, you think it just some little... No, it brings you into the fullness of truth, which is in a person. And it brings you into the fullness of truth, of the person of God. And God, you have done that for us. And that person is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That person is none other than you, God. You, our Heavenly Father. And therefore, this verily, this supporting, this amen, to be bound, to be binding, binding, binding is a verb, durable, constant, reliable, unfailing. Supporting is the key word, remember, supporting. Thus, I expect, to say it simply, we ought to expect God to be God who He is. Amen. I expect, we ought to expect God to honor His word. He is bound to His word. He's bound to His person and nature and essence. Amen. Amen. He's bound to His people, His plan, His purpose. Amen. Amen. So be it. So be it, God. So be it. God, You're bound, bound. So here we are looking. What do we have? Well, we've got, here's the Word of God. Here's the Word of God, your Bible. Bible. And your Bible is supporting in your hand, I hope. Here it is, supporting God. Your Bible is amening God. Right now. God, we're in His presence, and there's your Bible. And your Bible is amening God. The Bible says, amen, so be it. God, the amen, is amening His word. God is supporting His word. His word is supporting Him. And then you come along by us. We, amen. His body, the church, the believing heart, amen, God. We are holding God's word and God. We are supporting God. Amen. So be it. So be it. And God is supporting you. And as you rest on God's word, God is supporting you. Ready? God amens. Is God able to save? Amen. God says amen. He that hath begun a good work in you, what? We'll follow through. Amen. Ephesians. Supporting. God supports me. My confession. I support Him. I do. That's what we do. God, we're bound to You. And that's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do according to do exceeding abundantly above all, what a list, all that we ask or think according to the power, the ability, the dynamite that worketh in us. God, You're able to do it. Amen. Unto Him, unto that God, unto our God, unto Him be glory in the church. How so? By Jesus Christ, who is the Amen. By Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So be it. So be it, God. What a place we have. What a place, God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, pay attention to what I say. I don't say something for nothing. The world says it. Everyone says something. But God said, you better pay attention when I say it. Because it is so. And when you're all done, you're going to put an amen after it is so. And you're going to say, so be it. So be it. It is so at the beginning, so be it at the end. God, thanks a lot. Huh? Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you, deal with a heart that we would just have a little, God, just help us. It isn't hard. We just got to get lined up with things. So God, deal with us and help our heart, our mind, our home, our health, our wealth. God, you know all the needs of the heart, God. But we want to let you, we want to be able to amen you, our God, our Savior. We want to amen your word, your promises are all yes and amen. God, we amen them. So God, do your good working. And outwork it, our God, for your honor and glory. And as you say at the very end, our God, even so come. Even so come. So, God, thank you very, very much. So those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And our God, deal with us who know you. Help us. In Christ's name, amen.